Hey, this is George.
And this is Sarah.
And we are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what. When I was little, I saw a commercial about seatbelts that was really funny because it said, belt yourself, belt your wife, and don't forget to belt your kids. I don't think that's what they were talking about.
That sounds actually horrific.
I know.
Belt your kid.
Belt yourself. It's known as the hammer of the kink toolbox, the all-purpose tool.
Yeah.
Belts.
Mm-hmm.
And this brought up some safety things for you, because this is one of those where I think people don't think they're kinky, but they engage in some, like, you know, kink play kind of stuff. And you wanted to give some handy tips for the all-purpose tool of kink.
Yes. Which would be the belt.
Yeah. We all, you know, like it. And I think it's, it's a nice gateway tool. Because
sure. Everyone has one.
Yeah, you have around the house. Belts, neckties is another one people have around all the time.
Right.
Belts covered a few things you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Impact play.
Right.
Which I'll have you define in a
restraints.
Second. Restraints and breath play.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, we'll talk about them, but you probably need some definitions of what some of those are.
Sure. So impact play, anything that strikes the body. I mean,
however it strikes your fancy.
So impact play is anything from, you know, light spanking to hard flogging, whips, you know, that kind of thing. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even like hand spanking is considered impact play because you're impacting the body.
And so when you think about safety with those, obviously one of the first things you're going to think about and consider is bruising and after effects.
Right, right. Which is why, you know, aftercare becomes so important. Because if you're not taking care of the areas, one of the things that my partner and I recently saw was this, like, dangers of impact play.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you told me about this when you walked in, and I was like, okay, now we have to talk about
and one of them,
it went straight to, like, okay, well, what's something you use in all of these things? And we're like, belts.
Exactly. So, yeah, so one of the things that they caution you about in this article, this particular article, was sudden death.
Sudden death?
Or instant death. I'm sorry, instant death.
Okay. This is not instant crib death, is it?
No. And so what happens is after impacts, the muscles in your body retain lactic acid. If you have too much lactic acid in your body, yes, it can kill you. So aftercare, doing things like rubbing muscles to release that lactic acid is helpful.
Okay. So this is like the ninja warrior aftercare.
Right. Right.
I love Ninja Warrior. I just have to say that. So, yeah. Kink and sex and Ninja Warrior. That's where we are today.
Why not?
Sweet.
So, yeah. Like you said, bruising is a big issue. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not that bruises are terrible.
Right.
But
Some people they don't mind a little mark of pride.
Right. But I will say that if it leaves, you know, a big bruise or a painful bruise, you know, obviously engaging in further impact play is not likely.
Just take a breather before you keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You recommend things like, you mentioned a light rub down,
mm-hmm.
you know, rubbing over kind of like when you have mosquito bites or something itchy.
You could do that. I mean, even a deep rub would work. Depending on how hard the impact play is, mm-hmm. you may need more pressure.
What about hot or cold packs or Epsom salts, things like that?
You can use all of those. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, alternating cold and heat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So looking up things like you would see in sports medicine.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Because we are talking about the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sports medicine is incredibly attuned to the body and quick recovery.
Yeah.
So definitely looking at sports medicine techniques.
So you do
is
your
helpful.
Physical therapy and then you do your physical therapy
right.
after.
Right.
Or it could be psychological therapy and then physical therapy, depending on how you're looking at
sure.
impact play.
Could be all of the above.
All of it. Yes. And then we talked about restraints.
Yes. Yes. So using a belt as a restraint. There are multiple ways you can do it. You can use it to restrain hands, arms, well, limbs in general. Mm-hmm. It can be used around the throat.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Which we'll get to that. Yeah. So if you're using it on limbs primarily, you want to stay away from joints because that can cause a lot of damage to not just the joint, but also the tendons and the connecting tissues. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Don't restrain at the joint. Restrain above or below, depending on which joint.
So you would opt for, say, the forearm below the wrist instead of at the wrist.
Above the wrist.
Above the wrist.
Above the wrist. So, yeah.
Below the wrist.
I was like, that would be the hand.
It depends on the angle you're looking at it from.
Use a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah, Chinese finger trap of belts.
That's my restraint, a Chinese finger trap. No, so stay away from the joints. Mm-hmm. Also, you want to make sure that you can at least get a finger underneath it so that it's not too tight. I know some people, now, if you are very, very skilled, you know all the things, there's still going to be potential for damage, but... just be aware, like, if you can get a finger underneath, that's typically the best, because if you need to get out of a restraint quickly, shears. Always have surgical shears. Surgical shears? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm asking the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
So having surgical shears nearby for a quick release is very, very smart.
And, you know, going further with restraints, then, yeah, if you have rope or something, make sure you have something that can cut through the thickness of rope that you have.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just a pocket knife, because then you're going to cause even more damage, possibly.
Right.
And then you move into blood play, which was an unintended kink from trying to do a quick release.
But speaking of blood play, a lot of things like restraints and what we'll get to with the breath play also crosses the line into blood play as well, because even if blood is still left in the body, you're still messing with it. So if you're restraining at, you know, pressure points and things like that, you're restricting blood flow. So being aware of what color are the person's hands,
right.
Is it too tight, because you are restricting the blood flow. So be careful of that.
And if you are the one being restrained, never be afraid to say, my hands are tingling.
Too
Something
tight.
Is weird.
Too
much. Potato.
Right.
Use your safe word.
Avocado.
And this goes to when people have handcuffs and restraints.
Yes.
There are particular problems with metal.
Yes, there can be. Of course, like rubbing and chafing and things like that, breaking the skin. Mm-hmm. Of course, always be aware of how tight you're tightening down on anything. Yeah. Quick release is another thing. Yeah. If you do not have a set of handcuffs that has a quick release, I urge you to get them. Because again, shit can go south.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to get out of that situation as quickly as possible.
So yes, even if you're just using belts, make sure, like, where is the buckle and how is that situated and can you cut through the leather or things like that.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hadn't thought about the fact that it's blood play. And these are all considered very high-risk things that actually impact and blood play.
And what's really interesting is these are typically the things that people start off with. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to try some kinky stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is where they go to. They go to impact play. Mm-hmm. They go to restraints. They go to choking.
Yeah.
That's another one.
And it's not that it's always a high risk, but these are definitely things that can fall in the high risk category very quickly.
Absolutely. And this is, to me, like the biggest defining thing between kinky play at home and like being part of a kink community. Mm-hmm. Because when you're a part of a kink community, you get education. You have resources. You have a community that you can rely on, ask questions. Whereas if I'm just engaging in kinky play in my bedroom and I don't really know what I'm doing, it can turn really bad really fast.
So educate yourself.
Instant death.
Yes. Ignorance equals death.
Right.
The other nice thing that I have learned since I have finally been to a dungeon.
Yay.
I am devirginated.
I'm so proud.
Dungeons.
I'm so proud. Yay.
It was so fun and sociable. Is in that situation, you not only have the community around you, but quite often you have a monitor in each room.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if they see something that they're like, oh, no, that's not safe.
Yeah.
They'll come by and make sure.
And they have safety equipment there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So consider that.
Mm-hmm.
Going to their classes and learning more, not just learning about the sports medicine and the aftercare and things like that.
Right. But educating yourself on the methods
right.
and the things that can go wrong. Because, you know, we've talked before mm-hmm. about RAC being risk-aware consensual kink. Mm-hmm. So that model is based on harm reduction. So you can engage in these behaviors as long as everyone knows what risks are involved and that you're taking precautions to reduce harm.
Right. Which this sounds like a lot of prep and a lot of boring stuff, but
but it's necessary because instant death.
Yeah. And you know, 99 times out of 100, you're not going to need it.
Right.
But
that, at one time, it's going to be really helpful to have that information handy.
Yes, because when you have to call 911 and explain what happened, that's a lot weirder.
Exactly. Okay.
Especially if somebody passes out, which leads us to...
Yes. So, yeah, let's say wrapping a belt around the neck, for example, since we are on belts.
Yeah.
So a lot of times how you'll see people use it is basically like a leash. Where they pull one end through.
I've done that.
Yeah. So like through, and then you tighten it. Well, with that, it's loose.
Yeah.
It's like, if you continue to pull on it, it's going to continue to tighten down.
You've basically got a noose.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Let's just be fair. It's not even a slip knot. It's a freaking noose at that point if it's a leash.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, of course you can poke as many holes in your belt as you want. And actually create it to be a little safer.
Yes.
So that
then
you can control where.
Point.
Right. Right. Instead of leaving it loose to where if you do pull too hard, it's going to tighten down. Mm-hmm. You can do some severe damage. There's a reason that strangulation, as it's called in the medical world, is such a big deal, because you can crush windpipes, you can cut off blood circulation, you can cause strokes, instant death. So
these are, you know, just thinking in, as far as when you talk about the medical world and also media and stories I've read, these are not just things that you do to others as far as the impact play and the restraints and the breath play. This is something people do to themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And wow, we've all seen the stories about what's that people die from?
Autoerotic asphyxiation. Ooh, that's a hard word to say.
Yeah. So I think particularly for that on the breath play and belts and stuff, because it's something they go, well, this is handy.
Right.
And I'm jacking off. Let's do this.
Right. It's something that can be hung up easily, essentially.
Yeah.
But again, you know, taking the safety measures, if it's a belt, like I said, create a notch that is comfortable for you, that's not going to overdo it. But also beware that if you're starting to feel the sensation of I'm going to pass out, let yourself loose. This is such a big pet peeve. Like, because you do see it so often where people go too far with it, essentially, or don't recognize how they're feeling. They're too in the moment.
They're getting off. They think it's part of getting off.
Right. And I really caution against autoerotic asphyxiation. See, I still can't say it.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes.
There, I did it.
AEA. And so I caution against it because unless you have like someone in the same house, someone who is nearby, who if something does go wrong, they can step in. And I know that kind of defeats the whole auto.
Beats the purpose. it does. On the other hand, again, you do not want to end up in the weekly world news.
Right.
Or as a bizarre story on the interwebs.
Right. Right.
Yeah, having to call 911 on these things and explain them is a lot more embarrassing than being prepared.
Yes.
So.
Precisely.
So. Yeah. And also, you know, if you're super embarrassed about this stuff, then maybe you should learn more about it before you just go off and do it. It's like the whole buying condoms thing. If you're too embarrassed to buy condoms, you're probably not ready to have sex.
Agreed.
I think that is a good rule of thumb on some of these things. If you're too embarrassed about it, it's okay to learn more.
It's okay to educate yourself in order to gain confidence.
And safety,
and,
as
right.
it turns out.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to end up in the weekly world news.
No. No instant death.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're cool enough to, you know, have our deaths broadcast on TMZ or BuzzFeed or something like that. But you know, you don't want to end up at a weird footnote in somebody's coffee break.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So better to be safe than sorry, yes. as they say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will say that, of course, there is the, like, also with the strangulation or choking, mm-hmm. whatever. I feel like in the kink community, it's choking. In the medical world, it's strangulation. It's the same
choking
thing.
Choking out.
Like, let's be...
I like to be choked out. That's what people say, right?
Right? And yeah. let's be very, very real that it is still strangulation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is such a huge area of, like, medical science that has gone into, like, the effects of strangulation. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I have a little thing, actually, on my phone. I'm looking at it. Because it can cause, like, serious memory issues and loss of consciousness. It can cause breath problems. I'm, like, mm-hmm. ringing,
so if you're an
ringing
asthmatic,
in the ears.
You probably, you know, want to be extra careful. Like that.
Absolutely. Of course,
if you have
bruising
like
and swelling.
RA, if you have joint issues mm-hmm. on some of these things also,
and if you have like a kink friendly physician, talk to them, use them as a resource.
Hey,
yes, because they will be able to tell you, like, here is all of the things that could go wrong, here are the things that you need to look for.
You on surface area, like using a belt, a wide belt as opposed to a rope, or using, you know, a bigger paddle as opposed to a whip.
If they
like that.
are educated enough, mm-hmm. yes.
And please don't just go on YouTube and just believe everything you hear. I have nothing against going on YouTube to educate yourself, but don't
understand where the information is coming from. Like, yeah. that's my thing, is really look into what mm-hmm. what you're consuming in terms of safety education. Because some people, I mean, they have the best intentions, but they're not doing it right.
God, yeah.
You know, and nobody wants to catch charges because they, you know, choked out their girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Oh, I forgot all about being embarrassed. There's being arrested.
Right. You
oh,
know.
Yeah. There are manslaughter charges.
Exactly.
Wow, we're taking this to a dark place today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
But that's what I want to get across, is the seriousness of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, yes, it's fun. And if it's done, you know, with the utmost safety in mind, it's a great time. You know, everybody wins.
Right. And it's not just newbies. It is experienced people that can yeah. be in the moment and stuff. So we always have to keep reminding ourselves.
I
know we joke about a lot of stuff on here and, you know, we crack wise about things, but it is a big issue mm-hmm. as far as just taking care of your body.
Accidents happen. I will mm-hmm. say that. I will never forget, I went to a panel of D-types, and one of them had talked about accidentally hitting somebody in the ear with a whip.
Ooh.
And they had been doing this for, you know, 20, 25 years. Ooh. And they caught somebody in the ear with a whip.
Oh, and I've learned how to box ears.
And immediately, I immediately went into, like, safety and care mode, because that's part of yeah. what you do. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of what you're doing. If you cannot remove yourself from the headspace as a D-type and check in on your sub, probably don't want to engage at yeah. this point. Learn to control yourself.
And lastly, I would say, don't be afraid to take a first aid and CPR class.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Look them up. They have them at the Y. They have them at parks and rec centers. They have mm-hmm. them at hospitals. A lot mm-hmm. of times they're even free.
Yeah.
So
you can do
that.
At least like basic first aid for free. Mm-hmm. CPR classes tend to cost some
Sometimes
of the time.
They do non-certified ones
right.
for free. But yes, look them up, like I said, through your local hospital groups and things like that.
Absolutely.
And that will get you prepared as well.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yep.
Let's go look them up.
All right.
Comments, questions, knock-knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The end.